Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Good morning. Hey, as you're seated, look at somebody now and tell them the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I want to make you aware of a couple things that are going to be happening, very important things. That is, this coming Saturday, you may have been hearing us talk about our growth track. Our growth track is our way of teaching and training you. How do you get connected to God? How do you get connected to North Point? How do you find your place to serve in the kingdom of God and here at this church? It's a four-week course that happens every single day, every single Sunday after the 9:30 service. And but some of you, because of different obligations or maybe you serve in different areas of the church, you're not able to go after the 9:30 service to go through our growth track. So what we have put together is we have put together a fast track for you that is going to be Saturday morning. Destiny, myself, and Pastor Clarissa will be teaching this fast track. I really encourage you, if you have not been through our growth track, regardless of maybe you've been here for a long time and you're already serving, you're already connected, this would be a fantastic investment in you, learning some things probably that you don't know, but also being able to tell your friends about Growth Track, that this is what they get by going through it. So it's coming up this Saturday, September the 9th. It'll start at 9 o'clock. It'll probably end around 11:30. We're going to have a wonderful time, some snacks, all kinds of good stuff. That's going to be happening on Saturday. And then as we roll into next week, in honor of kickoff Sunday for the NFL, we're going to have a brand new series starting called Coach Me Coach, okay? And it comes off of one of my favorite NFL films video when the players were whining a little bit, and the coach jumped in there and he said, listen, he said, your only response is coach me, coach, coach me, coach me, coach, coach me, because they didn't want to be coached. And let me tell you what, we're going to have an amazing time over these next few weeks as we start coaching the fundamentals of our faith. How many of you understand there's importance in fundamentals? Every single year, guys that have been playing football for a long time, been playing professionally for a long time, they go to a place called training camp, and guess what they do in training camp? They go back over the fundamentals, because your fundamentals are always your foundation. You can't do anything on top of a shaky foundation. So your fundamentals are your foundation. So we're going to be starting that next week, and we'll be going through several weeks of talking about the fundamentals of our faith. John 17, let's start in verse 1. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Today I want to talk to you on the topic of his prayer, my priority. His prayer, my priority. Let's pray one more time. Father, we ask these next few moments that you would simply do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into the people that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And with faith and expectation, everybody in the room said, amen. Amen. You know, praying with your children can provide you with some of the most touching and hilarious moments of your day. Many times a week, I have the pleasure of putting our two oldest girls in bed and praying with them at night. Carolina Lee is 6, and Julietta, who we affectionately call Juju, is 3 years old. And many nights a week, I get the pleasure of putting them in bed and praying with them. And I always have them pray before I pray over them. And Carolina Lee, my 6-year-old, she keeps her prayers pretty streamlined, not too emotional. She's going to pray for the immediate family. She might pray for a close friend who has a need. But then every now and then, she's going to throw in just, I mean, something that just reach up there and really grabs your heart. Every now and then, she'll throw in something like this. God, I pray that you would help all the kids tonight in this city who do not have enough food to eat. Every now and then, she'll throw in this prayer and say, God, give all the children in Africa clean water to drink. I mean, it just jumps up there and tears start filling your eyes, and she's pulling on your heartstring when she prays things like this. God, heal all the sick people that I know. Or God, let all the people of the world know that Jesus loves them. I mean, it is just those beautiful moments of prayer that just reach up there and just, man, make you feel like your kid is finally getting it. And then I have Juju pray. Juju's prayers are not streamlined, and Juju's prayers are over-emotional. Juju prays full-body prayers. Do you know, you ever seen somebody pray the full-body prayer? Okay, the full body, it is like they are fighting the devil as they are praying. I mean, it is a full body prayer in the bed happening there. And she doesn't just pray full body, she prays loud. I mean, really, really loud. So loud, so that Carolina has told her before, Juju, you know that God can hear you. But she prays so loud. Just a few weeks ago, we were in Panera Bread, and we were having breakfast, and I was walking to get them some water, and they had just gotten their food, and Juju screams at me across the restaurant, and she says, Dad, we forgot to pray for the food. And I was like, it's okay. I was trying to, it's okay. You can pray. You go ahead and bless the food. I'm just kind of mouthing it, being really quiet, and I think she thought that I needed to be able to hear her prayer. So right there in Panera Bread, she goes, God, thank you for this food. Bless it in Jesus' name. And I was just standing there getting water like, who are those children? But Juju prays some wild and crazy prayers. Juju's the kind of person that she'll pray for Santa Claus in the middle of the summer. She prays for the tooth fairy, and she's years away from losing a tooth. She prays for everyone in our extended family. We have a really large family. And she prays for all of them by name, including their dogs and cats. Juju prays for her imaginary friend Mary to get a good night's sleep. You know, you can tell so much about your kids and about their passion and about their perspective, about their priorities and about their personalities just by listening to them pray. And here in John 17, we get to listen to Jesus pray. We get to hear his passion. We get to hear about his priority and his perspective. We get a glimpse of what was really important to him as he poured his heart and his desire out to his Father in heaven. And I encourage you to go, maybe even today, and to read the entire chapter of John 17, to listen to what Jesus had to say, because he was not just praying for those that were surrounding him in that moment. Jesus was praying for you. And how do you know that? Because he included it in the prayer. In John 17, verse 20, Jesus said this, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Come on, today, if you are a believer in Jesus, you are a believer in Jesus because the early church got the message of God out there. Today, we believe because we have heard the message of Jesus, and Jesus says, this is who I am praying for. And you need to read through this prayer because Jesus prays for strength, and he prays for joy, and he prays for protection, and he prays for unity, and he was praying it all with you in mind. There's three things that I want to draw your attention to this morning in the beginning of Jesus' prayer in these first four verses that we read in John 17. And there are really three things that we should all be constantly aware of in our lives. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to is the glory. The glory. Jesus said this in verse 1. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. You know, Jesus was so intentional about giving glory to his Father in heaven. Even in a few chapters before this, in John chapter 11, when Jesus went to pray for Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. He had been dead for 4 days. He was already in the tomb. They had already rolled the stone over the tomb. And Jesus stands there and he says, roll away the stone. And before all of that happened, Jesus prayed a prayer. And he said this. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those standing around here, that they might believe that you have sent me. What was Jesus doing? He was wanting them to know the glory goes to the Father. He is the one that sent me, and he is the one that supplies me with resurrection power. Jesus was so intentional throughout all of his ministry to give glory to the Father, because that's where it belongs. But how many of you understand that's not always where we want it to go? Because our sinful nature craves glory. Our sinful nature craves praise and adoration and honor. But the glory belongs to God. The glory does not belong to us. And I just say it this way, if you did not create it, then you are not supposed to keep it. God is the one that created his own glory. God is the one that created everything, so God gets to keep the glory. We did not create the glory, so we cannot keep the glory. Instead, we must return it to the one who created it. Isaiah 42, verse 5 says this, God, the Lord, he is the one that created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone. Life to everyone who walks on the earth. And it is he who says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols. You know, it is so easy for us to get so wrapped up in ourselves and so wrapped up in our own lives that even when we try to be spiritual, we're selfish. I don't know about you, but have you ever caught yourself praying to God and you start praying to God and you say, do this and change that and bless me and deliver me and give me, and you finish your prayer and your prayer was all about you and it wasn't about his glory. Isn't it interesting that Jesus starts his prayer and he says, Father, give me glory, glorify me so that I might glorify you. I want you to know there's nothing wrong with praying for God to bless you. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to open up a door for you. There's nothing wrong for you praying. Even Jesus prayed, God, glorify me that I might glorify you. But the purpose was not Jesus receiving the glory. The purpose of Jesus' prayer was him giving glory back to the Father. And it's okay for you to pray to be blessed if you're going to give the glory back to the Father. It's okay for you to get a breakthrough when you give the glory back to the Father. It's okay for you to be delivered when you give glory back to the Father. Praying for these things is okay, but we got to make sure that the glory is going back where it belongs. Isaiah 43 even declares that we were created to glorify God. We were created for the glory of the Lord. And to glorify God simply means to give him the glory that he deserves. The word glory, as related to God in the Old Testament, it bears with it the idea of greatness or splendor. When you hear somebody talk about the glory of God or the glory of the Lord, they are talking about the greatness of God. They are talking about the splendor of his character and of who he is. And in the New Testament, the word translated glory often means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. And whenever you take these two and you put them together, we find that glorifying God means acknowledging his greatness and giving him honor by praising and worshiping him. Now, that is more than just singing a couple songs on Sunday morning. You see, we live to honor God. We live to honor him. That's even what the Bible speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. See, sometimes people think, wow, well, you know, if I just work a normal job as an electrician, or if I just work a normal job as a school teacher, if I just work a normal job as a banker, how am I going to give glory to God? The Bible says that no matter what you do, if you do it with the right heart and with the right intention, you are giving glory to God. God, I'm giving you glory because I have a mind to think today so that I can do my job, because I have hands and feet today to do my job. I'm giving you glory. God, I'm giving you my very best effort today so that I can give you glory. No matter what we do, we can give glory to God and glorify Him through it all. See, I'm not living for the purpose of accumulating compliments in my life. I'm not living on this earth for the purpose of pats on the back. I'm not here to talk about my success or my achievements. No, everything we do must be to give God glory, to honor His name, to give Him the significance that's due to Him. And like I said earlier, you didn't create the glory, so you can't keep the glory. The glory belongs to God. Now, let me just show you what happens whenever you begin to touch things and hold on to things that don't belong to you. Let me just show you what happens whenever you begin to hold on to the glory instead of giving the glory away. The Bible says this in Romans 1, verse 21. It says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. It says they knew God, but they didn't worship Him. What is it saying? It's saying they knew God, but they did not give Him glory. They did not worship Him. They stopped living for Him, and it began to distort their view of God, and they began to worship other things. You see, you were designed and created to give something worship and to give something glory. And if you don't give the worship and glory to God, you're going to give that worship and glory to something else. You might give it to yourself. You might give it to your spouse. You might give it to your job. You might give it to your position. You might give it, but that is going to go somewhere. And what we always have to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of, we have to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of a traffic jam of glory. That glory doesn't get a traffic jam in our own lives. No, glory has to flow and glory has to move. And whatever we are doing and whatever people are telling us how great we are as a husband, telling us how great we are as a mother, what a great worker we are, what a great manager we are, what a great business owner we are, whatever glory, praise, and adoration we are giving, we got to keep it flowing through our lives so that we are always glorifying God and praising Him and exalting His name. Because misplaced glory can create dysfunctional lives. Whenever you start misplacing glory, it can create dysfunction in your life. So we must always be aware of the glory. Where is the glory going in my home? Where is the glory going on my job? Where is the glory going in my life? Is there a traffic jam of glory? Is it staying here too long? Or is the glory flowing and moving to the place that it's supposed to go? Here's the second thing that we must be aware of. We must be aware of the gospel. We must be aware of the gospel. Jesus said this in verse 2 there in John 17, for you have given Him authority, speaking of Himself, Jesus, authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given Him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know You, the only true God, and Christ Jesus, the one You sent to earth. See, this is the gospel message. This is the good news to the world. At one time, humanity was separated from a relationship with God because of sin. But God, our gracious Heavenly Father sent his one and only Son to this earth to live a sinless life in order to be the perfect sacrifice to die in our place. He proved his power over death by being resurrected on the third day so that each and every one of us can be forgiven, restored in relationship with the Father, and can spend eternity with him forever and ever and ever. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. And Jesus said, this is the way to have eternal life. That you would know God and that you would know Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God that wants to be known? That we serve a God who doesn't have anything to hide? That we serve a God who is inviting us into relationship that we could know him and walk with him? And then you have to ask yourself this question. Then how do I get to know somebody? I mean, very, very practically speaking, how do you get to know someone? I mean, besides Facebook stalking, how do you get to know someone? You can read about that person. You can read about that person. You can read about people. You can read about them in books. You can read their biographies. You can read what people have written about them. That's how you get to know somebody. How else do you get to know somebody? You can talk to somebody who knows that person, who has a personal relationship with them, and you say, hey, can you tell me about so-and-so? And they can tell you because they have a relationship with them, and they can begin to describe to you what they are like. The third way that you can learn to know somebody is that you can go and spend time with them yourself. So you can read about them. You can find somebody that knows them and talk to them about that person, or you can spend time with them yourself. And do you know that all three of those options are available for every one of us to get to know God? All three of those options. You can read about God. God so desperately wanted you to know him that he put a compilation of 66 books in this book that we call the Holy Bible, and he did it so that you could read about him. He did it so that you could know him. He did it so that you would know about his character, about his heart, about his desire. He put that together so that you could read about him and discover who he is. Not only that, God provided you a place to hear about him. You can come here to North Point Community Church every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15. You can come on Wednesday night at 6:30. And guess what? You can hear about God. And by getting to know him, you as you hear about him, then you get to know him better and better. You can read books that have been written about him. You can listen to podcasts. So many avenues for you to listen to people talk about God who know him. Here's the third thing that God did, creating this avenue for you to spend time with him, and he did that through prayer. He did it through prayer, and he did it where you can pray wherever you are. You can have instant access to God through the sacrifice of Jesus wherever you are. You can just talk to God, and the amazing thing is you can talk to God the way that you talk to a friend. You can talk to God the way that you talk to your sister. You don't have to use spiritual lingo. You don't have to know all the right things to say. No, you can just begin a conversation with God and just begin to talk to him. And then there's another thing that you can do, a thing called meditation, where you can sit and you can think about God. You can think about what you read in his word. You can think about maybe what was preached on Sunday morning. You can sit there and you can meditate on him and think. And you know what's amazing? Is that God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. Not only do you talk to God, but God wants to talk to you. He wants it to be a conversation because he wants you to know him. And all of this is so that you can know him better. And so ultimately, you can love him more. Mark 12, verse 30 says this, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Can we all agree this morning that it's hard to love someone with everything that is inside of you when you don't know them? It's really hard. It's really hard to love somebody with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength when you don't know them. But here's the thing. If you do really love somebody, then don't you want to get to know them more? Isn't this a beautiful cycle of the way that God established it? That we would get to know him through his word, that we would get to know him through his teaching, that we would get to know him by spending time with him in prayer. And the more we get to know him, guess what? The more we are going to fall in love with him. And the more we fall in love with him, the more we want to know him. And the more we know him, the more we fall in love with him. And the more we fall in love with him, the more we want to know him. And the more we know him, the more we fall in love with him. And this is a cycle that continues for the rest of our lives. See, when you have an opportunity to know God, don't settle for merely knowing about God. When you have an opportunity to really know him, don't settle for just knowing about him. This is the difference between religion and relationship. And can I tell you, there is a big difference. In John chapter 3, a man by the name of Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, he was a religious ruler and a teacher during that time. And he comes to Jesus during the night because he was being sneaky. He didn't want to be seen by his other Pharisee friends. And he sneaks in there to Jesus at nighttime. He says, Jesus, I know you came from God. There is too much power flowing out of your life. I've heard you teach, and you teach with an authority that I have never heard. And you are healing the sick, and a lot of great things are happening. I know you came from God. And Jesus just cuts him off right there. And Jesus just gets right down to the point. He says, Nicodemus, I know why you came, and let me just tell you something. Verse 5, Jesus replied this. He says, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Wow, he said, Nicodemus, what you're looking for, it's not going to be found in your rules. Nicodemus, what you experience when you are around me, the power of the miraculous, what you experience around me in the authority that I teach, that does not come from religion. That came from relationship with my Heavenly Father. And as I stay in relationship with my Heavenly Father, then life is going to flow out of me. And that's why you're here in my tent at midnight. That's why you are here talking to me right now, because you experience something that you have never experienced anywhere else. You see, it's a powerful principle when we understand that religion produces rules, but relationship produces life. Religion produces rules, but real relationship produces life. After all, isn't that what Jesus said? In John 10:10, he said, this is the reason that I came. This is the purpose of coming to this earth, that you might have life, that you might have it to the full, that you might have it abundantly, that you might have it until it is overflowing in your life. I'll tell you this morning, if you feel like Christianity is a burden, if you feel like Christianity is weighing you down, are holding you back, then what you have is a form of religion and not a transforming relationship. Because a transforming relationship is all about knowing God and loving God. And when you know God and you love God, it creates an abundant life that translates into eternal life in all of our lives. Life flows from relationship, and that is the very heart of the gospel. You see, we've got to be aware of the glory, but we've also got to be aware of the gospel to make sure that we're not just buying in to the rules of religion, but we are living in the life of relationship. Here's the third thing that we have to be aware of. We have to be aware of the goal. We have to be aware of the goal. In verse 4, Jesus said this, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. You see, we focus on giving God the glory that belongs to him. We focus on abiding in the relationship that the good news that the gospel provides for us. And then we focus on the goal. What is that goal? The goal of completing the work God has assigned for us to do. At the end of our lives, I know we want to be able to say what the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life. And this is what he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. The fight that God asked Paul to fight and the race that God had him run, it was not an easy one. In 1 Corinthians, you can read about how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he had been beaten with rods, how many times he had been stoned and left for dead, how many times he was in prison. You can read about his life, but he says, I want you to know that I was faithful through it all. I never lost my mission. I never lost my perspective. I never lost my priority. I never lost my focus on the goal. I can tell you today that the work that God has given you to do, it will not be accomplished without risk, without pain, without sacrifice, without disappointment, without challenges, and without hard times. And that's why each and every one of us, we must be more focused on completing the work than we are focused on the uncomfortableness of the moment. Hear me this morning. You have to be more focused on completing the work. You have to be more focused on finishing your race. You have to be more focused on fighting the fight. You have to be more focused on doing what God has asked you to do than you are focused on the uncomfortableness of the moment that you are in. Because if you are going to run the race with God, if you are going to fight the fight that God has asked you to fight, then there are going to be plenty uncomfortable moments along the way. And if you focus on the uncomfortableness of the moment, then you will never get to the end of your race. You will never say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful, because the moment will be bigger than the goal. You must live with the goal always bigger than the moment, no matter how bad it might hurt. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, he says, I love this in the Message translation. He says, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. Come on, somebody. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. No, he said, he says, I am doing this thing, and I'm going all in. I'm not going halfway. I am going to go all in. Why? Because the mission there is more important than the moment right here. And we just finished a series of sermons on Sunday morning based around our mission. And we said it earlier, but come on, let's say it again together. Our mission here at North Point Community Church is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. That's not just a cute, catchy phrase that we have hanging on our wall out there in our foyer. No, this is our life goal. This is the work that God has assigned for each and every one of us, that we would live our lives Christ-centered, that our lives would revolve around Him, that He would be at the middle of every decision that we make, that He would be at the core of our families, He would be at the core of our business life, He would be at the core of our future decision making, He would be at the very center of everything, and that we would begin to change the culture around us, that we would change the culture of our homes, that we would change the culture of our workplace, that we would change the culture of our neighborhood, that we would change the culture of our city, that we would change the culture of the world. Why? Because that's what God has called us to do, to be the light on be the city on the hill, shining its light. He called us to be the salt of the earth. That's what He has called each and every one of us to be, and that involves changing culture. There's no excuses. There's no exceptions. That's what He has asked each and every one of us to do. If we say we are followers of Christ, that is our work on the earth. We know from this prayer, Jesus completed His work. We know from the Apostle Paul's writing, He finished His race. He completed His work. My question to us this morning is, are we going to complete our work? Are you going to complete your task? Am I going to do the work that God has assigned me to do? And just in case you were thinking, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not really in ministry, I don't really lead a small group, I'm not really sure that He has a mission for me. You see, the Bible wants to clear everything up for us, and that's why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, for we are all God's handiwork. Come on, it doesn't matter today. It doesn't matter where you work. You are God's handiwork. Come on, it doesn't matter today if you're a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home dad. It doesn't matter today if you're working in the military. It doesn't matter today if you're working on the railroad. It doesn't matter where you are today. We are all God's handiwork. I mean, listen to this. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. Before you ever got here, God already had an assignment for your life. Before you ever said yes to Jesus, He had an assignment for your life. And when you were created brand new in Christ Jesus, you were created in Christ Jesus to do the good work that God has already put in place for you to do. It makes sense whenever we read in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus says, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. The harvest is ripe. The world is ripe for harvest. The world is ripe to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The world is ripe. There are people in our communities, people in our cities. Man, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Why? Because they don't feel like it's my work. I don't really feel like God created me for the task. No. You were created for work. You were created to run your race. You were created to talk to people that only you're going to talk to. Do you know that there are people today that are in your life that nobody else in this entire church, some 800 people every single Sunday, and you are the only person in this whole community that's going to come in contact with that person? You have a job. You have an assignment. It is a work for you to do. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. So we need people to stand up and say, you know what? I'm ready to be about the goal. I'm ready to focus and to be aware of the mission and the purpose that God has placed on my life as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And when we do good work, guess what happens? God gives more glory. That's what Jesus said right there in verse 4. He says, I brought glory to you. God, I brought glory to you here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Wow. When you do what God assigned you to do, you're not just being obedient. You're not just being a good Christian. You're not just putting a check mark in your box or patting yourself on the back. No, when you do the work, the glory is going to God. Jesus said, God, I give you glory because I have done what you have asked me to do. Jesus said this as we close in Matthew 5, verse 16. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Even the good work is not about us. The good work is about Him and His glory. What are we missing today in our awareness? What are we missing today in our focus? Is there something missing today when it comes to the glory? Is there a traffic jam in your life? Or is the glory freely flowing to God? Are you giving Him honor and praise and adoration, not just by the words that you say, but by the life that you live as a living sacrifice for His glory? Where's our awareness today of the gospel? We've fallen into a trap of just living by code of conduct. Have we fallen into a trap of just thinking Christianity is a bunch of rules that kind of make us better people? Are we aware of the real nature of the gospel? Is it about relationship with God? It's about experiencing the life that is in Him so that I can live an abundant life and have eternal life forever and ever. What about our awareness today when it comes to the goal? Are we paying more attention and giving more awareness to the pain of the moment, the difficulty of the moment, the adversity of the moment, the challenge of the moment? Are we giving more focus and awareness to the goal, to the mission that God has for each and every one of us? I want you to stand with me this morning. Bow your heads just for a moment. This is what I believe this morning. I believe for some people in this place that there's going to be a shift of focus, because there's been some people that have been misplacing the glory. Maybe got a little traffic jam. Got a little traffic jam of glory. Maybe been sending glory in the wrong direction. But today you say, man, I've got to give glory where it belongs. I've got to give God praise in adoration. I've got to give God the credit. I've got to give God the glory today. I don't want to take the glory for myself. I don't want to give the glory to another. I want to give the glory to God. The glory doesn't go to my strategy. The glory doesn't go to my company. The glory doesn't go to my associates. The glory doesn't go to my boss. The glory doesn't go anywhere. The glory only goes one place. I give the glory to God. I believe there's some other people today, and there's a focus shifting in you, and you say, I've got to get my eyes back on the gospel, the good news about relationship with God. I got to get back into the Word. I've got to start making sure I'm more committed to the house of God so that I can learn more about God, that I might know more about Him, that I might love Him more. I need to spend time in His presence. I need to pray and I need to listen so that He can speak to me, so that I might know Him, so that I might love Him. It's the very heart of the gospel. And today you need to make a shift of focus off of the rules back into relationship with Him, so that you can experience life. And I believe there's some other people right now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, there's going to be a focus shift when it comes to the goal. You've been putting your focus on the temporary circumstances. You've been putting your focus on what's happening in the moment and not putting your focus on the goal of being able to pray the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. I've run my race, I have fought my fight, and I have remained faithful to the end. Come on, I believe there's going to be a focus shift in this place right now. You say, Philip, I need to shift my focus, my awareness when it comes to the glory. I need to shift the focus of my life when it comes to the gospel. I want to be in relationship with God. I want to walk with Him. I want to know Him. I want to receive His forgiveness. I want to be in fellowship and relationship with Him all the days of my life. Or to say, man, I've got to shift my focus when it comes to my goal. Too much focus on happening in the moment. If I'm speaking to you right now, you say, that's me. I'm ready for a focus shift. I'm ready to increase my awareness in these three areas. It was his prayer, but you say, now it's my priority. It was his prayer, but now it's my priority. It was his prayer in John 17, but now it has become my priority. Come on, if I'm speaking to you right now, come on, I want you to lift your hand up in the air. I want you to lift your hand up in the air. Say, hey, it's time. It's time for me to shift my focus. The glory, the gospel, the goal. It's time for me to shift my focus. I got to become more aware of certain things each and every day in my life. Come on, will you say this prayer after me? Say, dear Heavenly Father, I need you today. I believe that you are Lord and that you are Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Give me new life today. And I am ready to shift my focus. The glory belongs to you. The gospel is good news about relationship with you. And I will focus on the goal, the mission you have for me. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name for every single person that lifted their hand. God, I thank you that this Labor Day weekend, God, that it is going to be a significant weekend in their life. God, they are going to experience a shift of focus and an increase of awareness. God, their life is going to be about giving you all the glory. They're not going to hold on to it anymore. They're going to give you the praise, the adoration, and the glory for everything in their life. God, their lives are going to be built on the gospel of walking in relationship with you each each and every day so that they can experience the life that only you have for them. And God, I thank you that we are going to focus on the goal, the mission that you have for each and every one of us to accomplish. And God, today we just lift up our hands to you and we worship you. We give you glory. We give you praise because you are the only one that is worthy of our life, worthy of our heart, worthy of our time, and worthy of our praise today. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, man.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.